My name is Jody, and I am usually on most weeks out with the children because I am the pastoral lead for children's ministry. But because we have a long weekend, I get to be with you all this morning. I'm glad some people are excited about that. Okay. So, water everywhere. Swimming is one of my most favourite things in the whole wide world to do. So I love the water. When I was younger, any chance to be around water and I was there. I loved water sports of any kind. I just loved being in it, on it, around it. It was awesome. And then one day I met my lovely husband. I was a teenager at the time. And his family had a yacht. And I was like, cool! I'd been on many, many motorboats before, but I'd never been on a yacht. And his family decided to ask me out for the weekend. So I was really, really excited. Think of all that swimming I could do off the boat. It also happened to be the very first time I would be getting to meet his parents properly. So what could possibly go wrong? So the day came. I was shown around the boat. Here's where you put your stuff. Here's where you will be sleeping. Great! Off we went. Slowly we motored out of the harbour until we got far enough that we could actually do proper sailing. The motor got turned off. The sails went up. And as we went out more further into deep water, something strange happened. It was a slightly different motion to the motion I'd been used to on motorboats. There seemed to be more rocking backwards and forwards. And also, every so often, we had to jump up and jump to the other side of the boat as the sail swung over and watch your head at the same time. But, ooh, my stomach wasn't liking that very much. It was really starting to do something weird. But I thought, hey, it'll be fine. It'll calm down. It won't be a problem. So there I was, and we were sailing a bit further. And Steve goes, hey, this is not the best position in the boat. You should come over to the front and you should sit over here. It's way more cool. And I'm like, well, I love fun. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. My stomach is not really enjoying this, but who knows? This could be even better. So I went over to the front of the boat, sat down. Whoa. Oh, that was not the right idea. This was not fun. My stomach didn't like it. And I had to make a bit of a dash for the side of the boat. And bleh, there went my breakfast. I was turning a lovely shade of green. My stomach was not getting better. Bleh. There went last night's dinner as well. I had made a really important discovery, but I had made it way too late. I was seasick, and I was not the type of seasick where you just get a little bit of nausea. I was full on feed the fish, not look too good or too pretty, feed the fish style sick. Now, this wasn't really a good first impression for my future in-laws. But I'm pretty sure, as I was hanging over the boat, my mother-in-law had this look of glee on her face. And she walked up towards me and started offering me food and drink. And this was day one. I wonder, did Noah get seasick. Or maybe his wife, or maybe their sons, or maybe their sons' wives. Between Noah and all those animals, the fierce rocking of the boat, all the smells, surely it wasn't going down well with somebody. How did they cope? Were they offered food at really inappropriate times? Were there issues between the family members? And most importantly, who won the arguments about whose turn it was to clean up all that poop? Unfortunately, the Bible doesn't give us answers to any of those questions. In fact, it gives us very little information about Noah and his sons at all. And we have absolutely no information about Mrs. Noah or his sons' wives, except that they were there. So what is it? What is it that we should be paying attention to in chapters 7 and 8 of Genesis? The ark? The ark was designed to keep Noah and his family and a huge bunch of animals afloat. It wasn't a yacht or any type of boat that we would understand today, because it wasn't built to be directed by its occupants. It didn't have a rudder or an anchor, so they weren't meant to steer it anywhere or to put it down in one place anywhere. They weren't meant to be controlling this great big boat they were in at all. As the water rose, that boat would have been tossed backwards and forwards, to and fro. As the water fell down from the sky and raged up deep from within the earth. For 40 days, the flood kept coming on the earth. And as the waters increased, they lifted the ark far above the earth. All the occupants of the ark were completely 100% reliant on God. Remember, it was God who had given them the design of how the ark should be built. And although they were the ones that actually built it, there was no sea trial. The ark had not been put through rigorous testing to make sure it was going to stay afloat, and nothing like this had been attempted before. All the occupants of the ark were totally reliant on God to keep them afloat and alive. There was only life to be found inside of the ark. The only life was inside of God's design, inside of God's plan. There was no life to be found outside of God's design, outside of God's plan. There was no life outside of God. The whole time Noah and his family were on the ark, surrounded by nothing but water, they heard nothing from God. Imagine that. You're set adrift with your family, all these animals. I'm sure you had plenty to do cleaning up. But all that time, Noah didn't hear a word from God. He had been a righteous man who had walked with God, but here he was, stuck on a floating basket, surrounded by his family and animals, totally at God's mercy. And we don't see God saying anything. Excuse me a moment. God had shut Noah and his family in the ark. He had told Noah he would keep him and his family safe, but he had told him nothing about how this was going to go. He had told them nothing about how his future was actually going to turn out. God had no communication from Noah about how long they'd be stuck in this situation or how long it would be before they would be able to put their feet on solid ground. How would that make you feel? Your living situation had never happened before. The circumstances that surrounded you had never happened before. And God seems strangely quiet. Would you feel anxious, unsettled, abandoned? Does anything about this situation sound a little bit familiar? At the moment, our world is stuck in a situation where we really don't know what's going to happen. COVID-19 has been raging all around our world, and there's been much speculation as to how that's really going to affect the whole of humanity. There's been much speculation on what the future will be when things finally look like they're settling down. There's also been much speculation and countless extreme views on what this means for us as Christians. In our time of technology, we have simple ways of keeping up to date with knowledge and many ways of fighting disease and disasters. Yet we still live in a world that is full of uncertainty. Do we look to the experts in our world, searching for what's really going on? Do we find hope in some of what they have to tell us? Are we comfortable with the way our world is going? Are we comfortable with the way the experts perceive our future to be? Do we feel reassured and content? Noah didn't have experts. He had absolutely no one else outside of his family on the ark to talk to. Everyone was gone. There were no experts on boats, no experts on flood levels rising and receding, no civil defence coming to his rescue. All Noah had was his faith in his relationship with God and the promise God had made to him. This is what it says in chapter 8. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him on the ark. And he set a wind over the earth and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down. And on the 17th day of the 17th month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. God was not a God that remained distant. God had not abandoned his own creation. God was always there, and God was always in control. As we look to Noah's story, we can get bogged down by the horrific thoughts of what had happened to those outside of the ark. We can look at it and think, what type of God would allow such a thing to happen? But to see what's really happening, we need to see the bigger picture. Right from the very beginning of creation, we can see this is not what God wanted for his creation. From the time the very first people chose to go against God, he had been warning them about the effects of sin. But you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will surely die. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. After 40 days, Noah opened a window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until all the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find nowhere to perch. There was water all over the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and he took the dove and brought it back into himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent out the dove again, but this time it did not return to him. God had kept his promise. The floodwaters had receded, and finally there was proof of new life outside of the ark. By this stage, Noah and his family must have been longing to get out of the ark, longing for an escape from all that noise from the animals and the smells and the endless cleaning of all that poop, longing for their feet to be on solid ground. But he waits. He doesn't leave the ark. He doesn't leave until God gives him the okay. Because he knows and understands how important it is to listen to God and to listen to God's word. God had been his only way of sustaining life all that time he was on the ark. Why would he not follow God now? But what about now? What about in our time? What about the very real uncertainty we face daily in our lives? God has not abandoned his own creation. God is in control. God certainly didn't remain distant. He came down to earth himself as a part of his plan to rescue all of humanity that believe in him. He did this through Jesus. Jesus is a part of God's design that those who choose to be in him can escape the penalty of sin, just as Noah did. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Like me on that boat with Steve's parents, you may feel there are often parts of your life that are out of control. You may feel like you're being tossed to and fro like a boat without a rudder. Without an anchor. You may look out at our world and get really anxious when you look to your local paper, your television, or social media. You might feel like God is sometimes very distant. Or you may just be crying out, "God, remember me." As you came in today, you will have been given one of these, a raindrop. let's just take a moment to grab our raindrops and just place them in our own hands. And let's just reflect on how when Noah had no control and hadn't heard from God in a while, he held on to those promises God had made to him and his family. As you look at your raindrop, notice how it can also look like a teardrop. We all experience difficulties in our lives. None of us are meant to face them alone. There will always be times when we feel like our life is out of control, when we might question, where is God in all of this? When it is difficult to believe and trust that God really is in control. As you hold this, you might like to write something on it, or you might just want to use it as a symbol. But let's just take a few minutes now just to silently pray about those things in your life you feel you have no control over. Let's take time just to talk to God silently about that now. We are now going to come forward and take communion together, remembering how it is through the suffering of Jesus Christ that we no longer have to face sin and death alone. As you come forward to take the elements, feel free to bring your raindrop to the front and place it by the ark as a symbol of giving over those things we have prayed for to God, who is in control, trusting that he's got this, that he is with you, and that he knows what's on your heart.